testimony of the youth pastors and youth leaders. Let me just say real quickly, I know a lot's been said to the church, and I want to thank the church again for this. When you pastor a church, as long as I have, it'll be 23 years this May, same church, you really learn to appreciate church members. You know, I never forget, I heard Brother Reno Lycan say one time, only 2 to 3% of the church sits on the platform. 98, 97% sit on the pew. And those are the ones that keep the church going. And you youth workers, I tell you, I just so appreciate you all. And young people, I appreciate your kindness and the things you say. And you asked me to sign your Bible. Let me tell you, real heroes today are the youth workers that brought you here, right? They're the ones that will, they're going to go home with you. They're the ones that'll visit you in the hospitals. And they're the ones that'll pray for your parents. And if they're not saved, I know some of that's the case here. And so just thank God for youth workers. So I want to ask the youth workers to stand up real quickly. Stand up real quickly, all you youth workers. And let's give them a big hand. I know how much we appreciate and love them. Amen. I want you to know that me and my wife had our own private room. Brother Miller had his own private room, but the youth workers stayed in the rooms with you all. And they are the ones that had to sacrifice sleep. And I'm sure every room had one snorer. How many of y'all had snores last night? Did you have some snores? Yeah. And snoring is not a real bad thing if they're in rhythm. You know, if someone's like, you know, it can almost become a white noise, but there's always those snores that struggle. They're like, and you're like Brother Miller just said, he's dead. He gone. He dead. And then you got to fight over who's going to give a mouth to mouth, you know, and nobody wants to do that either, because Brother Miller already talked about bad breath this weekend, so it's always interesting, and I just so appreciate you youth workers, and I mean that. I love you all, and some of you all I know aren't even full-time. You took time off of your work. I know one of the men that came with our group, Thad back there, he's an electrician in our area, and he probably could have worked yesterday, but he took that day off to come because he loves teenagers, and I just so appreciate you workers so much, and I mean that. Thank you so much. God is good. Judges chapter 8 is where we'll be this morning, and I thank you so much. Some of you got the book. Again, if you don't catch it today, it's available on Amazon. I failed to mention this last night, but the book, proceeds of that book go to my parents and to missions, all right? $1 out of every sale goes to my parents, $1 out of every sale goes to missions, and I have a huge burden to at least educate people in the deaf ministry. I know that not everybody in this room or everybody in your church can just go home and start a deaf ministry tomorrow. But I want you to think about this. They are the third most unreached people group on the planet right now. And they're the number one most unreached people group in the United States of America. And the only reason they're the third on the planet is because there's so many Muslims and Chinese folk, right? Wikipedia describes the deaf world as the only culture on this planet that has no native homeland. It's the only one. Every culture can be traced back to a native homeland, but they don't have one for the deaf culture. Why? Because every country has deaf people. Deafness is not a respecter of persons. And they're great people. I love them very much. I mean, I have to. They're my family. And having a deaf church is an amazing thing. It's a lot of fun. You all don't realize that, like, at a deaf revival or deaf conference, which I do a lot of those, I'll be doing two of them this spring, you can't ask deaf people to bow their head and close their eyes for prayer time. You ever thought about that? You can't say, let's bow our heads and close our eyes, because if they do, they ain't seeing you signing, right? And so everybody's eyes are open. And deaf people are blunt. They're a blunt culture. If you've gained weight, they will tell you. If you're going bald, they'll be like, man, you got bald quick. You know, they'll just tell you, you know. And it's amazing how many times my dad asked another woman if she was pregnant when she was. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. They're just really blunt like that, right? But, and it's funny, because when you give the invitation for salvation, they're not really discreet about it. If they know somebody's lost, they just point, hey, you right here, raise your hand. He needs to get saved. They'll sign in me from, I'm at the pulpit. This man right now needs to get saved right now. Raise your hand. Me? Okay, and they raise your hand, come forward and get saved. I mean, it's hilarious. I had a deaf man in my church one time walk into the back door of our auditorium. It's about as long as this. And he's standing in the doorway, and he waves at me. And I said, hey. And he said, this is my friend right here. He smokes dope and needs to get saved today. I'm like, okay. Okay, can I get his name at least first before you tell me all his sins? I mean, it's like, it's just how it is, the deaf culture is. And BBC, the teens know, they love our deaf ministry, and they see them there every service. And so I at least want y'all to pray about it. And that's why the book is out. Every chapter, it kind of educates the world about the deaf. You're going to learn about a culture that nobody really knows about. And can I just say this, and I hope nobody gets offended by this, but the fact is this. The most oppressed people group in the history of our country are the deaf. I mean, at least we've had a black president now and a black, and we have Mexicans that have taken, or Latinos. You know, when my dad went to school, he wasn't even allowed to sign. If he started to sign, he would get his hands smacked with rulers till they bleed. My dad graduated high school with second grade reading level. He bought a dictionary after high school and read the whole dictionary and lived the American dream. And he got a bachelor's degree, two master's degrees. And he didn't complain and said the government owed him anything. He just pulled up his bootstraps and went to work. Can I tell you something right now? The deaf are an amazing people, and they need Jesus too. I've had two 90-year-old deaf people come to our church and get saved. I had a 75-year-old deaf lady come to our church years ago, and all three of these people are in heaven now. Years ago, we were still in our old building, and she sat in the front row after service and said, "My Baptist pastor told me I have an automatic free pass to heaven because I'm deaf." I sat her down and told her the gospel, and she got saved. So just pray about that. I don't expect everybody here to go out and be fluent in signs because it's not an easy language to learn. It's a different culture, very different. My wife and I got married. I said, "I just want to warn you, there's a deaf culture." She's like, "Oh, it can't be that different." I said, "Oh, okay." About a few months after marriage, she's like, "Man, these people are, they're different." Yes, they are different. And people always, one of the biggest misnomers, "Man, it must have been so neat growing up in a home with deaf parents. It must have been so quiet." No. Deaf people are the noisiest people on this planet. You know why? They can't hear themselves making noise. So everything's loud. Doors slamming, cupboards slamming. I mean, everything is loud in the house. I mean, so, but I'm very blessed to have grown up in that culture, in that world. And so I hope that's a blessing. And some of you bought books last night and we didn't have change. We apologize. We do have change now. Clara, I don't think Grant's going to be able to handle that. So I think you're going to have to take care of that now, okay? All right, let's go and look at Judges 8 real quickly. I'm not going to be long. I'm going to hurry through this. Let's go and stand up and look at Judges 8. And on the subject of revival, I love the word revival, and I love that word life Brother Miller talked about. But today I want to talk about that word guide, okay? In order to have a revival in your life, you've got to follow the right guide. And there's two young men that we're going to talk about today. One of them is very, very famous. The other one, not so much. But what's sad about the second man is this. He could have been. Look at Judges 8 with me real quickly. Actually, you know what? Yeah, okay, we'll read this here. Okay, look at verse number 18. "Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, What manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, As thou, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, They were my brethren, even the sons of my mother, as the Lord liveth. If ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was but a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, Rise thou and fall upon us. For as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks." Father, help us today. Speak to hearts, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. There was at least one salvation last night, I heard. And I never get tired of hearing about somebody getting saved. And if you're not sure you're saved, we still want to give you that chance in just a second. Jether, you better answer that. It might be Jesus, amen, all right? I'm not even going to ask who that was. But anyway, stay with me now. It's for my youth group. But Jether is in the Bible. Jether is the firstborn son of Gideon. How many have heard of Gideon before? All right, Gideon, very famous man in the Bible, took a strong stand, won a battle, won a victory for the Lord, and became a captain of the host, became a leader in Israel, and his firstborn son comes up. He's a young man at this time, and Jether and Gideon, they're together, and Gideon has found these two men, these two leaders, Zeba and Zalmunna, and he says, "Hey, you guys slaughtered some people. What do they look like? What were they like?" And these two men actually say, "They were like you. They looked like you. They reminded me of you." And so Gideon figures out, he killed my family. He killed people that I know. So he says, "I'm going to kill you." But he turns to his son and he says, "Jether, here's your chance. Kill him." I mean, the dad's right there. And Gideon is a man of war, a champion of war. He knows how to fight. He says, kill him. I got your back. And the boy puts his hand on the sword, which, by the way, let me just say this. Jewish boys grew up knowing how to fight. The children of Israel knew how to fight from the time that the boys knew how to throw a slingshot and how to handle a sword or a knife or a dagger. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is in this same book named Ehud, and or some people pronounce it Ehud. I wanted to name my son's middle name Ehud. My wife didn't go for that. But anyway, Ehud is a man. What a man. Left-handed man pulled a dagger out, stuck it in a man who's so fat he couldn't get the dagger out. He said, keep the dagger. He walked away and killed a man. I mean, you talk about a bad dude. And we got Shamgar, who killed somebody with an ox goad. And you read about these guys that were warriors in the Bible. They were soldiers. I mean, they were fighters. David is one of them. We're going to talk about it in a second. And so he says, hey, kill him. And he says, I can't, Dad. So the two guys say, you kill us. He slaughters them. And then this is weird. I mean, the Bible has some weird stories in it. Y'all ever notice that? Like make an oath, put your hand under a man's thigh, and you know, just weird stuff in the Bible. So he goes and takes the ornaments off a camel. He takes these ornaments off a camel as a spoils, and they leave. And you never hear from Jether again. Fast forward a few years later, and there's a different young man. Go to 1 Samuel 17. This young man shows up on a battlefield. And this young man came in honor of his father, to see his brothers and to check him out, see how they're doing. And this young man becomes a champion of the Lord. So Jether's name, now the version of Jether shows up several times in the Bible, but this particular Jether only shows up in the Bible one time. This young man we're talking about now shows up in the Bible over 1,000 times in 968 verses. What a powerful testimony. Here's his man. He shows up in the Bible here. And the Bible tells us here in verse number 14, and David, there he is. David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. So here's the title of the message. It's very simple. We're going to be back and bouncing back and forth between these two chapters. So hold your place in both of them, 1 Samuel 17 and Judges 8. It's a very simple question. Do you want to be like David or be like Jether? And we know David had a lot of problems. He struggled. He sinned. He did some wicked things, but boy, he has a title that I covet. He's a man after God's own heart. And the difference between the two is this. David was willing to allow God to guide him. And in that, he allowed God's tools or God's people to guide him. And I want to give you a couple quick things today, and I'll be done. Number one, I want you to notice a difference in their obedience. The difference in the obedience. Real quick, look at Judges 8, verse number 20. The Bible says, and he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. That is a direct command from the father to the son. He says, I got your back. Up, slay them. Kill these guys. Could you imagine? I mean, my son, Grant, he's 15 years old. If we're in a battle and you know, there's two people standing there, and I literally say to him, hey, kill those guys. I mean, that's what's being said here. And I'm a warrior. I've got your back. And he disobeys his father. All right, compare that to 1 Samuel 17. Look at verse number 14. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. And David went and returned unto Saul from Saul and fed his father's sheep from Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Look at verse number 17. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now thy bread for thy brethren, an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses and the captain of their 1,000, look it up how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they, so on. And look at verse number 20. And David rose up early. He immediately goes and does what his father tells him to do. David didn't fight him. David didn't defy him. David obeyed his father. Let me say something right now, young people. It's important that you learn a powerful principle of obedience. Did you know I still obey? I'm a senior pastor, and I have been for 22 and a half years. I still obey. Oh, but nobody is humanly above me in my church. No, I still obey. I have a God in heaven who tells me to do things. I want to obey him. Obedience is something that our country is now teaching is a bad thing. It's a wrong thing. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you obey the right people and the right authority, it will do you good. And Jether does not obey his father. David does obey his father. And Jether said no to opportunity. And David had the door of opportunity open to him hundredfold, if not 1,000-fold, because he obeyed his father. Jether stood there and had an opportunity right there. David had no idea he was going to kill a giant that day. But he obeyed his father. Obedience is the difference. If you're going to go on a guide to life, you better have some obedience. How many have ever traveled internationally? I've been in other countries numerous times. I've been in third world countries. And there's some third world countries that you go to. You cannot just eat all their food or drink their water. You'll get very sick. And there's the national pastor I went to see. His name is Brother Edgar Nono, a good friend of mine in the Philippines. Every time I sat down at a table where there was food or something to drink, I looked at him and he would guide me on what I should eat or drink. Because if I ate the wrong thing or drank the wrong thing, I could be sick for 2 weeks and even miss my flight and be stuck in a hospital in another country. Why? Because I wanted my guide to keep me safe. Young people, so many teenagers, so many young people go down the wrong path and they never plan to get a divorce and they never plan to live a heartbroken life and they never plan to do certain things. But all of a sudden they're 25 and 30 years old and they look back on their life and they wish they could start it all over again. Listen, young people, you're at a point in your life right now where the sky's the limit. Your future is bright. Hey, find the right people to obey, especially God, and watch him do miracles in your life. Number two, I love this one. Look at the difference of their excuses. Their excuses. Boy, we're good at making excuses, aren't we? Watch Jether here again in Judges chapter 8. Look at this in verse number 20. It says, and he said unto Jether, his firstborn son, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was what? He was yet a youth. That was his excuse. And boy, we come up with a lot of excuses on why we should not serve God. Now go to 1 Samuel 17. I want to show you the difference between these two. And I'm hurrying along. Look at verse number 32. 1 Samuel 17, the Bible says this. It says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a what? Help me now, a what? A what? And he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, smote him, and delivered it out of the mouth. Watch this now. I'm amazed how many young people will come up with our excuse, or church members too, adults, will come up with excuses on why we don't serve God. Or somebody gives us an excuse on why we just don't serve God. And by the way, if your friend's one of those teenage friends in your youth group, so-called friends, who's always trying to give you a reason why you shouldn't go to church or you shouldn't serve God or you shouldn't read your Bible, you probably should find a new friend. Come on, help me now. Find a new friend. You know, friends aren't good guides. Parents are guides. Youth pastors are guides. Pastors are guides. God is the best guide. Friends aren't always your guide. They can have influence, but they shouldn't be your guide. I always laugh, Brother Andrews, when some single man tries to teach me how to parent. Right? Or some single man's going to try to tell me how to counsel a marriage in my church. Help me now. Right? It's hilarious. It cracks me up. Hey, thank God for friends. Thank God for peers. I love these conferences, but listen to me. When it comes to the subject of guiding, you better find somebody who's been down the road a little bit. And so this is Jether's excuse. And now watch this. Saul gives David the excuse. He's like, David, no, you don't want to fight this guy. You are a youth. You know what I love about David? Instead of looking for an excuse why he should not, I love what he does. He gives him an excuse why he should. Can I ask you today, I love this, Brother Jordan. Instead of finding excuses on why you should not serve God, can I challenge you to change that thinking? Why don't you find an excuse on why you should serve God? Amen. And that's what David says. David says, no, I got this. Why? Well, I know I'm a youth, but my dad had me watching the sheep one day, and a bear came up, and I whooped up on him, and a lion came up, and I whooped up on him. In fact, the Bible says he grabbed the lion by the beard and smote him. If the lion would have shaved that day, he would have still be alive. Somebody say amen right there. But you think about that. That's to get that close to a creature like that. And listen, I'd rather fight 3 9-foot men than one bear or lion any day. I used to box. I've been fought in the past. I'd rather fight a man any day than an animal. And David says, I know you're giving me this excuse. You don't want to fight him. My brothers don't want to fight him. The whole nation doesn't want to fight him. I'll fight him. Amen. Why? Because God's my excuse. What's your excuse today? See, when we ask that question, it's always, well, what's my excuse for why I don't? No, I'm changing that. What's your excuse for why you should? Let me give you a couple. America needs you. Your town needs you. Your families need you. Hey, don't miss this now. Your future children need you.
Hey, your future spouse needs you to. Hey, you need to serve God, young man. Why? You need to come up with excuses. Why? Because your future wife needs you to. Your future husband, young lady, needs you to. And your children need you to. Hey, may God give us a generation of young men and women like David who say, don't tell me I can't. I'll show you why I can. God is the reason I can. Number one, obedience. Number two, excuses. Number three, action. Action. Go ahead and look at 1 Samuel 17. In verse number 48. We already read Judges 8. I'll go ahead and remind you of it. Jether had an opportunity to take action. Again, his father was present. David's father was not. His father had his back. David's father wasn't there to have his back. And David's own three older brothers were like, you're on your own. But you know what David did? He took action. Look at verse 48. I love this, man. This gets me fired up, man. Who's ready to go fight the devil for Jesus' sake? Amen. In verse 1 Samuel chapter 17, I love this right here. In verse number 48, it says, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it. I love that word. And smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone stuck in his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine and with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. You know what I love about David? He took action. And we need some young people today that will just take action, that will just stand up and do what's right. How in the world, pray tell me, are you going to stand out in the world if you can't even stand up in your youth group? You know there's times that you should stand up and say, we're not going to say that. We're not going to hear that. We're not going to listen to that. We're not going to watch that. But boy, we've become so afraid today. You know what I love about David? When he showed up that day, he wasn't worried about his reputation. He wasn't worried about his brother's reputation. He was worried about God's reputation. And maybe we get some young people to say this. I don't want my God looking bad. I'm tired of Christians who make him look bad. I'm tired of Christians who tuck their tail and run. I'm tired of Christians who don't unsheathe that sword of faith. I'm tired of Christians who back down, who quit, who turn away, who go down the paths of sin. We need some Christians that'll stand up and say, here I am. Hey, here I am. Let's fight. Let's go to war. Let's have this revival. Let's make a difference in people's lives. We need a generation of people who will take action. Take action. Look that devil in the face and say, I'm God. Come on now, help me now. Right? Look at that devil today and say, hello. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Help me now. Come on now. Where's the young man, young lady? Hey, can I talk to this young man for just a second? Young man, why are young ladies always taking more action than we are? Huh? Why are young ladies taking more action than we are? Oh, we think we're so cool because we grew our first armpit hair. Bing! And we scored 30 points in a Christian school basketball game. Like I played high school football with public school kids. I played ghetto basketball. I played college football. I played with guys that went to the NFL. Look, I'm sorry, little Jimmy. You're 30 points in a Christian school, you ain't going to the NBA. But we think we're so cool because we scored 30 points in a Christian school basketball game. Help me now. I'll tell you what makes you cool. Standing up for God today. Stand up for Jesus today. A young man that has a passion for God. A young man not like Jethro who's afraid and says, I'm a young man, I can't do it. Let me tell you something right now. We need some David to say, I don't care how old I am. I don't care what you think about me. There's a God in heaven who I know is able. I've read the Old Testament. I've read the New Testament. What God did yesterday, God is doing today. And I know he'll do it tomorrow. And bless God, I will take action. Hallelujah. Let's take some action. Number four real quickly. Y'all okay? Man, God's good. Recognition. Recognition. Jether had the opportunity to give his father and God recognition that day. And instead, he had the enemy begging the older generation to whoop him. The enemy knew they were defeated. Zeb and Zalmunna are like, what's going on here? I mean, they're like looking around. Okay, yeah, we killed the guys that look like you, man. Yeah, we killed your brethren. And Jether looks to his father, and his father looks to him, and Gideon says, Jether, kill him. Okay, he's going to kill us. We're ready. And Jether puts his hand on that sword and starts to pull it. Puts his hand off and says, Dad, I'm too young. And so the enemy looks to the father and says, you kill us then.
Can I tell you something? It worked that day. But one day Gideon's going to be gone. One day the Dean Millers and the Stephen Russes, well, Stephen Russ is young, man. He's just young. He's going to be around a little while. I'm 45. Some of these youth pastors and pastors, we're going to be gone. If you don't start right now, we're in trouble. And it's all about recognition. Because watch David here, and I'm just about through. Y'all doing great. Look at 1 Samuel 17, verse number 37. Look at 37, 45, and 58. Look at verse 37. I love this. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me. I love that. Look at verse number 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest me with a sword and the spear with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Look at verse number 58. Even after David was successful, he kills Goliath, chops his head off. The whole nation has revival. I love verse number 58. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou? And he wants to make sure his dad is recognized. I'm the son of Jesse. David wasn't worried about getting credit or getting glory. He gave credit and glory to God and his earthly father. He knows that if his father didn't tell him to go down there, he wouldn't have had that battle without his father. And God helped him do it. Can I tell you something, young people? Your day to shine will come, but right now, you ought to get excited. Pick up that sword. Obey your parents. Obey your pastor, youth pastor. Most of all, obey your God. Fight. Go. Keep on going. Stand up and say no to sin. Like Brother Miller preached, when temptation knocks on his door, hey, tell him he's not welcome on the property anymore. Get fired up for God. And watch this now. Here's what I love, and then finally in the end, thank God, number five, you can have influence on others. The word influence is a powerful thing. The media has influenced America for the wrong. I hate the media. Media has destroyed our country. But you know why the media is so strong? Because Christians lost their influence. Jether had a chance that day to literally start a revival among the young men of Israel at that time. And boy, I'll tell you what, Judges, that time frame, they needed it desperately. Have you read the book of Judges? They were a mess. But David shows up. David did not even plan that day to kill a giant. David had no intention of going to battle that day. The Bible even tells us he did not have a sword, but he picked up five stones. Why did he pick up five? Well, there's a lot of debate on that. There's some spiritual application. Some say he was afraid he might miss and he wanted to make sure he had some backup. Some say he knew Goliath had some brothers. But the fact is he picked up five stones when he only needed one. And he smote that boy in the forehead and that giant fell on the ground. And he ran over there, took the bad guy's sword himself, cut his head off. But look what it did for the nation of Israel. Look at verse number 50. All those guys, I preach a message called Chimp, Champ, or Chump. You see, Goliath was a chump. David was a champ. And all the other children of Israel were just chimps that day. They're all sitting on a hillside doing nothing. That's what chimps do at a zoo, right? You ever look at a chimpanzee in a zoo? They just sit there. And they do gross stuff. Like throw up and eat their throw up. And they pick fleas off each other. Isn't that gross? I mean, that just gross. Help me now. I mean, that's just, I've been married for 23 years, my wife, and I've never had to pick fleas off each other. Somebody say amen right there, okay? If we do, we got problems. Somebody say amen right there. But I mean, they just do weird stuff. They just sit around. They don't do anything. And that's what the children of Israel are doing. But watch what happened when a champion showed up. I love this man. I get fired up right here. Praise God. Look at verse number 50. The Bible says this. It says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was found no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. Off was the head. Don't you love the Bible, man? Hollywood ain't got nothing on the Bible. Help me now. He pulls the sword out and just chops the dude's head off with the stone stuck in his forehead. Isn't that awesome? Come on, am I the only man that likes this story? Help me now. That's just like a neat story, man. Blood and guts goes everywhere. It's Bible. And the Bible says, and the men of Israel and of Judah, what's that next word? They what? They what? Arose and then what? Oh boy. And pursued. They arose, shouted, and pursued the enemy, Philistines, until thou come to the valley, to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded Philistines fell down by the way, even to the city of Gath and Ekron, and the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. They arose, they shouted, and they pursued. influence. You know what I hate? I hate hearing this. I've preached so many of these conferences, I've lost track now. I've been around thousands of teenagers. This summer, I'm on the road every single week, and I look forward to it, and I love it. I thank God for it. But I'm weary. I'm tired. Just weary of young people today who just want to sit. They don't want to rise. They want to be silent. They don't want to shout. And they want to just stay back and hold back, but they don't want to pursue. The Bible says in Matthew 16 that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You know what that means? That means the church has got to get aggressive again. All these Bible story people that we love and admire, they were men and women that were willing to get aggressive for God. They stood when nobody else would stand. The Moseses, the Abrahams, the Elijahs, and young ladies, I haven't forgotten you, the Marys of the world, and the Esthers, who made this statement, "If I perish, I perish." But you know what those young people did? And by the way, a lot of them were young when those stories happened. And you know what they did? They stood up and said, "We've got a God, and I fail him all the time. But I'm going to do my dead set best to make him look good." Why? Because God is good, and I'm excited about it. And contagious is a word that we don't like. It's always in a negative light. We think about contagious. We think about the flu or COVID. But you know contagious can be a good thing? I'll prove it to you. Watch me right now. Soon as you start smiling, they're popping up. The smiles are popping up now. Some of you can't see your smile. See, it's amazing how you just go into a room and start smiling, and people start smiling back at you. The power of influence, the power of being contagious. And we need some young men and young ladies today that will not be the Jether or Jetherette. They'd be willing to be David or Davidette, amen. And they're saying, you know what? I will obey. I'm not afraid to obey. I will do what God wants me to do. I'm not intimidated. I'm not going to come up with excuses on why I'm not going to do it. I'm going to come up with excuses why I should. They will take action. They will give God the right recognition. And they will make an influence and a difference in their youth group. Hey, we need some Davids today. We got too many Jethers today. It's all about that word. Guide. Guide. So who's your guide today? Or what is your guide today? Who influences you today? I like one statement Brother Miller said last night. I like a lot of them, but one of them really. We're so worried about followers when we should be worried about following. Follow the Lord today. How many followers you got on Instagram? I got more than you do. Oh, great. You want a cookie? That's great. That's wonderful. You've accomplished something in life. Right? Look, I'm not against that stuff. I have Instagram. I'll see you on the gram. Follow me. I'll follow you back. I have Facebook. I have all that stuff. And by the way, the reason I got it is because a Bohemian preacher said if Paul were alive today, he'd use those media, social media outlets to preach Christ and talk about God. If you look at mine, I talk about three things: faith, family, and sometimes football. What are you saying, Brother Randy? I'm saying this. There's plenty of Jethers. Brother Miller said it last night, dime a dozen. President Jether, Governor Jether, Senator Jether, Representative Jether, Professor Jether. But we need some Davids. We desperately need some Davids. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well today. I sure love and appreciate you young people, and I believe in you guys. I say this often, that if I get invited to preach an adult revival or a teen revival at the same time, I'll take that teen revival 100 times out of 100. Because I